Chapter 2, Meat Nest.
In Trigg's old life back on Cimarosa, breakfast had been the best meal of the day. Besides being an expert trafficker in contraband, a veteran fringe dweller who cut countless deals with thieves, spies, and counterfeiters, Von Longo had always been one of the galaxy's greatest unrecognized breakfast chefs.
"Eat a good meal early," Longo always told his boys. "You never know if it's going to be your last."
Here on the Purge, however, breakfast was rarely edible and sometimes actually seemed to shiver in the steady vibrations as though still alive on the plate. This morning, Trigg found himself gazing down at the pasty mass of colorless goo spooned into shaved gristle, the whole thing plastered together in sticky wads like some kind of meat nest assembled by carnivorous flying insects. He was still nudging the stuff listlessly around his tray when Kale finally raised his eyebrows and peered at him.
"You sleep at all last night?"
Kale asked.
"A little."
"You're not eating."
"What, you mean this?"
Trigg poked at the contents of the tray again and shuddered.
"I'm not hungry," he said,
and watched Kale shovel the last bite of his own breakfast into his mouth with disturbing gusto.
"You think the food will be any better when we get to the detention moon?"
"Little brother, I think we'll be lucky if we don't end up on the menu."
Trigg gave him a bleak look.
"Don't give him any ideas."
"Hey, lighten up."
Kale wiped his mouth on his sleeve and grinned.
"Little guy like you, they'll probably just use you for an appetizer."
Trigg put his fork down again with a snort to show that he got the joke. Although he couldn't have articulated it, his big brother's easygoing bravado, so obviously inherited from their old man, made him downright envious. Kale wasn't wired for fear. It just didn't stick to him somehow. The only thing that ever really seemed to trouble him was the prospect of not getting another helping of whatever the COO-2180s behind the lunch counter had been slopping onto the inmates' trays. Out of nowhere, from the ridiculous to the sublime, Trigg found himself thinking about his father again. Their final conversation hung in his memory with stinging vividness. Just before he'd passed away in the infirmary, the old man had reached up, clutched Trigg's hand in both of his, and whispered,
"Watch over your brother."
Caught off guard, Trigg had just nodded and stammered out that he would, of course he would. But soon afterward, he realized that his dad, in his final moments, must have been confused about which son he was talking to. There was no reason he'd ask Trigg to look after Kale. It would be like assigning the safekeeping of a wampa to a Kowakian monkey lizard.
"What's wrong with you anyway?"
Kale asked from across the table.
"I'm fine."
"Come on, fess up."
Trigg pushed the tray aside.
"I don't see how they can serve us this stuff day after day, that's all."
"Hey, that reminds me."
As if on cue, Kale flicked his eyes over at Trigg's tray.
"You gonna eat that?"
When the alarm shrilled out the end of the meal, he and Kale stood up and slipped through the mess hall along with the sea of other inmates. From overhead observation decks, a retinue of uniformed Imperial Corrections officers and armed stormtroopers stood watch, observing their passage into the common area with soulless black eyes. Down below, the prisoners sauntered in packs, muttering and laughing among themselves, deliberately dragging out the process as much as possible to exploit whatever small amount of leniency the guards granted them. There was a sticky, smelly closeness to their unwashed bodies, and Trigg thought of the phrase meat nest again, and felt a little nauseated. This whole place was a meat nest. Little by little, with studied casualness, he and Kale slowed down, falling farther back from the crowd. Although he didn't say a word, a subtle change had already worked its way through Kale's posture, straightening his spine and shoulders, a serene vigilance moving over his face, supplanting the old insouciant gleam. His eyes darted right and left now, never stopping anywhere for longer than a moment or two.
"You ready for this?"
he asked, barely moving his lips.
"Sure,"
Trigg said, nodding.
"You?"
"Full on."
Nothing about Kale's face seemed to indicate that he was speaking at all.
"Remember when we get down there. It's going to be close quarters. Whatever you do,
always maintain eye contact. Don't look away for a second.
Got it.
And if anything starts to feel wrong about it, and I mean anything whatsoever, we just walk away.
Now Kale did glance at his brother's face, perhaps catching a whiff of his apprehension.
I don't think Sixtus would try anything, but I can't vouch for Miss. Dad never trusted him.
Maybe?
Trigg started, and stopped himself. He realized that he was about to suggest calling off the whole deal, not because he was nervous, although he certainly was, but because Kale seemed to be having second thoughts too.
We can do this, Kale went on. Dad taught us everything we need to know. The whole thing should take no more than a minute or two, and we'll be back out there and back in full view. Any longer than that and it gets dangerous.
He jerked his head around and looked hard at Trigg.
And I go first. Clear?
Trigg nodded and felt a hand drop on his shoulder, stopping him in his tracks.